Nearly a quarter of people in Idaho are living with a mental illness. Often these people don't get the care they need until they're in crisis. Social workers and police officers are on the front lines of crisis care across the state. That's partly because funding for preventive care has declined. The National Alliance on Mental Illness says state governments have slashed funding for mental health care by more than $4 billion since 2009. As Emily Ritter Saunders reports, during that same time, the number of Idahoans put on involuntary mental holds has grown by nearly 40%.
2 years ago, Philip Mazaikas answered a knock at his front door that would change the course of his life. At 24 years old, Mazaikas was in the middle of his first psychotic episode, and social worker Teresa Shackelford witnessed it.
I was just storming around the house really angry when I heard a knock at the door. I remember thinking to myself, like, stay cool, just act normal. Like, whoever it is, don't say anything about aliens because they'll think you're crazy.
We responded to the home, which was actually the family home, and the parents had moved out just temporarily because the behavior was so alarming and kind of threatening.
I answer the door, and there's two police officers and two women. It's Teresa and Ellie. Basically, I just started saying, you know, I'm having a great day.
Philip was very friendly and talkative at first.
And then it just really hit me, like, it meant so much to me that I thought I was contacted by aliens. That's something that I felt almost evangelical about sharing. I also told him I recently drank my own urine.
What he was talking about was very bizarre and disorganized. He was having some disturbing hallucinations and delusions.
That was the first day Mazaikas met Shackelford, who now manages a regional mobile crisis unit for the state health department. Shackelford's job is to de-escalate potentially dangerous situations and to see if a person qualifies for a mental hold or involuntary commitment into a state hospital. In this case, Mazaikas did. She and her colleagues are often doing their job alongside law enforcement or first responders. Sergeant David Cavanaugh manages the Boise Police Department's Crisis Intervention Team, or CIT. He says all Idaho police officers receive basic de-escalation training, but of BPD's 286 sworn officers, about a quarter have had specialized crisis intervention training.
Because ultimately, we can't really help them. All we can do is connect them with resources that might be able to help them. That's really the thrust of CIT.
It's these kinds of crisis teams that have become a response to the defunding of mental health care across the country, says Laura Usher, a program coordinator at the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. Instead of early intervention or preventive care, too often people enter the system once they're in the midst of a crisis.
It's like if we didn't screen for high blood pressure and we didn't screen for high cholesterol and we just waited for people to have heart attacks and then said, oh, okay, I guess this person has heart disease.
Of Idaho's $2.5 billion Department of Health and Welfare budget, just 7.5% went to mental health programs in the last fiscal year. That's a decline from 11% in 2006. Cavanaugh says one result of the cuts is that police departments are now saddled with the cost of crisis care.
The legislature seemed really proud of themselves because they saved all this money at a state level. But all you really did is shift it to the local level, because now instead of calling my counselor or my therapist or changing my medication regime, now it's call 911.
This is John with Mobile Crisis in Boise.
At an Idaho Department of Health and Welfare office, mental health care providers sit in an open room calmly answering crisis calls. John Green is responding to an emergency from a small town outside Boise.
We're trying to figure out what's going on with your brother. Do you know, is he doing okay? Yeah?
He actually did shoot neighbor's cats, or he was attempting to shoot neighbor's cats?
When Green hangs up, he turns to his supervisor, Teresa Shackelford, to devise an action plan. In less than 20 minutes, Green and his colleague, Ellie Merrick, are on the road to meet police officers at the home of the person who's in crisis. After speaking with the man, the officers and social workers agree he needs mental health care, but doesn't meet the strict guidelines for an involuntary mental hold or commitment. Merrick says teams like hers can't always force people to get help.
The bar for civil liberties is intentionally high and should be that way.
The ultimate goal of crisis workers responding to calls like this is to avoid jail and the emergency room and encourage people in crisis to seek long-term care. For Philip Mazaikas, it took being held against his will at the Idaho State Hospital in Blackfoot to come to the realization that he needed medication and ongoing care to live a healthy life with schizophrenia.
My survival has been dependent on others I think, a lot because of my illness, and I'm really thankful for that.
Mazeikas is now on Medicaid, the state federal health insurance program for low-income and disabled children and adults. He isn't able to work, but he is volunteering at the Department of Health and Welfare and recently began the certification process to become a peer support specialist. He hopes to help other Idahoans navigate mental illness. For KBSX News, I'm Emily Ritter-Saunders.
This story is part of a series produced in collaboration with the Idaho Statesman. You can read more about this story in today's newspaper or on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. We also have a video on our website where you can meet Philip Mazeikas and share his story with your friends on Facebook and Twitter. We want to let you know, too, that we're hosting a public conversation on the future of Idaho's mental health care system. That begins tomorrow night at 6.